Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. O Master of all energies, please tell me philosophically all about them. You play like a spider that covers itself by its own energy, and your determination is infallible. Purport. By the inconceivable energy of the Lord, every creative element has its own potencies, known as the potency of the element, potency of knowledge, and potency of different actions and reactions. By a combination of such potential energies of the Lord, there is manifestation of creation, maintenance, and annihilation in due course of time, and by different agents like Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwara. Brahma creates, Vishnu maintains, and Lord Shiva destroys. But all such agents and creative energies are emanations from the Lord, and as such there is nothing except the Lord, or the one supreme source of different diversities. The exact example is the spider and spider's web. The web is created by the spider and it is maintained by the spider, and as soon as the spider likes, the whole thing is wound up within the spider. The spider is covered within the web. If an insignificant spider is so powerful as to act according to its will, why can't the Supreme Being act by His supreme will in the creation, maintenance, and destruction of the cosmic manifestation? By the grace of the Lord, a devotee like Brahma, or one in his chain of disciplic succession, can understand the Almighty Personality of Godhead, eternally engaged in His transcendental pastimes in the region of different energies. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam yena bhutale Swayam rupah kadamahiyam Dadati swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Gurav Shri Yutapad Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Brindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Bhavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So Brahmaji here is inquiring from the Lord. He is asking the questions almost similar to the questions asked by Parikshit Maharaj in previous chapters. Parikshit Maharaj, as we know, in chapter 8, he asked 21 questions. In verse number 26 of this chapter, Lord Brahma asked the question similar to the second question of Parikshit. And in this 27 and 28th verse, he is asking the last question asked by Parikshit Maharaj, which comes in verse number 23 of last chapter. So he's asking the similar question here. And Brahmaji is a devotee and he wants to create. So after these questions, he's asking guidance from the Lord and special blessing. Let me not be proud. Lord came, he shook hands. Hello, how do you do, Brahmaji? And like it's something, you know, for Brahma, you can imagine like, you know, somebody's like Supreme Personality coming and shaking hands. How much pride you'll have in your heart. And Brahma says, I'm going to create and you came and you did this. Please give me some mercy that I can be away from this pride. So Brahma wants to create. And that is the reason he is here telling that please tell me philosophically, Manisham. Why philosophically? Because for creation, knowledge is needed. That's the reason he is, because knowledge, generally when we have knowledge, here the importance of this word is that if you have knowledge, then all your material endeavors are finished if you take real knowledge. And Brahmaji is asking for that, though he is creating material world. So Brahmaji is asking for knowledge, and that is why the reason is that Brahmaji, when he creates this world, based on the knowledge given by Krishna, so he does not create the world to put living entities into illusion, but he creates the world to create facilities, to give facilities for the conditioned living entities to perform bhakti and go back home, back to Godhead. When the government construct prison house, they don't want the prisoners to be eternally there. The prison house is meant for reformation. The prisoner, he has done something, he should come, get reformed and go back. And that is how this material world, Durga, we have Durga, who's the in charge of this material world, and this material world is called Durga. So this is designed as a prison house. Of course, it's a wonderful prison house without any walls. And the conditioned living entities comes on its own will, gets entangled on its own will, and is very happy seeing that I'm tied up with all the, I'm shackled, I'm very nice, very happy. So they don't need walls here. So, but prison house is created for reformation. This material world Brahma creates for living entities to go back home, back to Godhead. And that is the reason before creating this material world, Krishna showed spiritual world to Brahma. I always wondered that Brahma is going to create material world and Krishna is showing him spiritual world. So how is it? Opposite things. You're seeing spiritual world and you're creating material world. So why spiritual world is shown to Brahma? So that Brahma knows what is the eternal position of the living entity. And then he can create such facilities here by which they can go back home, back to Godhead. That is the whole purpose. And that is why he saw this spiritual world. So he creates this material world so that all of us here can go back home, back to Godhead. But what happens in this material world, when we come, instead of going back, we try to enjoy. We have heard that material world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. How is it? Now here we are talking about energies, Prabhupada is talking about. So in the spiritual world, energies are divided into three category, spiritual energy. We know Krishna has innumerable energy. Parash shaktir vividhai vashruyate svabhavaki jnana balah kriyacha. So he has him. But when in the spiritual world, the spiritual energy is divided into three parts. Samvit, Sandhini and Ahladini. Samvit Shakti or Samvit energy potency is the knowledge potency. Sandhini is manifesting the spiritual world. And Ahladini is bliss, giving happiness. When these three energies, these three spiritual energies appear in this world in perverted forms, they become three modes of material nature. So we should understand why it is said that this world is a perverted reflection. Prabhupada always gave example, a tree is at the bank, trees at the bank of the river, and then you see the shadow, so it's perverted. Many times we have heard this. How is it perverted? The same three spiritual energies, Samvit, Sandhini, Aladhini, they come into this material world as three modes of material nature. Ignorance, passion and goodness. Aladhini Shakti is perverted reflection here of Aladhini Shakti is mode of goodness. Because when we read Bhagavad Gita, we realize mode of goodness binds us by happiness. So this is Aladhini Shakti's perverted reflection. Because we get material happiness. So mode of goodness. Sandhini potency, which is manifesting the world, that is creation, it manifests itself here as mode of passion. Because passion, we want to create. Brahmaji is creating and Brahmaji is in charge of passion. So creation is quality of passion. So Sandhini here is passion, and Samvit, knowledge, turns into ignorance. So these three are modes of a material nature manifesting here as, that's why it is called perverted reflection. So in the spiritual world, everyone is happy serving Krishna. And perverted reflection, everyone wants their own enjoyment. This enjoying tendency, which we develop here, kills the bhakti within us. So it is very important that we do not engage ourselves in material activities. Material activities are like Putana. Putana, she came to Krishna. We know all that story. When Putana came, the desire was she wanted to kill Krishna. Not that she was coming in the mood of mother to serve Krishna. Though she came, dressed herself, she changed her form. Putana, when she came to Krishna, she changed. She was looking like goddess of fortune. Even had a flower in her hand, lotus. That's what is explained. And when people saw Putana coming, they thought, thank you for the encouragement. So when people saw Putana, they thought that she's goddess of fortune, has come to see our Krishna. So nobody stopped her. She walked right into the room where Krishna was. Why? Because she had disguised herself. Similarly, material activities look very attractive. They give a lot of pleasure. We are not able to give them up, right? Why? They're like Putana, looking like goddess of fortune. But who was she? A demoness within. So material activities are like that, very attractive. We would like to be, you know, we would like to give our life for them, for earning money, for getting something, for getting the pleasure. People are ready to give their lives, isn't it? If they are not able to earn money, if they are not... I know, because we are preaching in India and we preach to universities, and then I come across many students who say, you know, my girlfriend left, so I would like to commit suicide. One time a boy came to me, he was very disturbed. He said, my girlfriend left. I said, you should be happy. Isn't it? So people are ready to give their life for what? Some kind of, you know, material attractions. Not for Krishna. So these material activities are like putana. And even among as devotees, we should be very careful of such putana. Gossiping, it's like putana. Internet, putana. Isn't it? Of course, unless it is utilized in service of Lord Krishna. We are also using internet, but in the service of Krishna. So they are all like putanas. They are killing the child, killing our bhakti, our tendency to serve Krishna before it matures. Putana was expert in killing children. You see, people have various expertise in this world. And her expertise was how to, she knew various ways how to kill children. People can be expert in such things. So, as devotees, we should be very careful not to get into this activities, because Krishna consciousness is like shaving with sharp razor. If you are not alert, if you are not attentive, then what happens is, gets cut. So Krishna consciousness is like this. Every moment, every second, every step, we need to be very, very attentive, very alert. And then we can save ourselves from putana. So knowledge is what Brahma is seeking here. Because what is knowledge? It gives our connection to Krishna. And knowledge is so important. That is why Srila Prabhupada took so much trouble to write books. He could have just traveled, he could have just preached, made temples. Why he was getting up in the night and writing books? And he wanted all of us to read. In one of the purports, Jai Shri Radha Gokulanand ki Jai Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki Jai Gaunitai ki Jai Shri. In one of the purports of Chaitanya Charitamrit Madhya Leela, Srila Prabhupada writes that now we have translated all these books, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrit, and if you don't read, then you will only eat, sleep, and lose the chance, golden chance of going back home, back to Godhead. So it is important to read books every day. These books are, how important these books are, I'll give you an example for Srimad Bhagavatam. When Vidura, he was traveling during the battle of Kurukshetra, he didn't know what happened. So he met Uddhava and he asked a lot of questions. He was asking what happened, you know, what is the result of battle and this and that. He was not aware. And Uddhava was explaining him. So while explaining, Uddhava says that all those who died on the battlefield of Kurukshetra went back home, back to Godhead. There's a very nice verse. He says, Tathe vachanye naraloka vira ya ahave krishna mukhar vindam netre pibanto nayanabhiramam parthastraputa padma purasya. Uddhava said, Tathaiva Chanya Naraloka Veera. There were a lot of people who were fighters, Veera, soldiers fighting. Tathaiva Chanya Naraloka Veera. Ya Ahave Krishna Mukhara Vindam. While leaving their body, they were looking at the lotus face of Krishna. Ya Ahave Krishna Mukhara Vindam. Netre Pibanto Nayana Bhiramam. With their eyes, while dying, they were drinking the nectar of seeing Krishna. And then in the last line he says, how is it possible? Those who were opposing Krishna, those who were opposing devotees, they were shooting arrows, they were trying to kill. How is it that they went back home, back to Godhead? Prabhupada also writes, everyone who died in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, they went back to spiritual world. How was it possible? And he gives the last line. Parthastraputah Padmah Purasya. Padmah Purasya means spiritual world. And the reason he gives is Parthastraputah. Partha, Arjuna, a pure devotee of the Lord, was shooting arrows. And because the arrows were shot by a pure devotee, when they pierce their heart, they become purified and they could see Krishna in the end of their life. And I was thinking that if arrows of a pure devotee can purify the heart, what about the knowledge given by a pure devotee? How much more effective these are. So these are arrows shot by Srila Prabhupada, ready to pierce our heart and purify us. Problem is, we are wearing an armor of ego. So we are trying to escape these arrows. I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear Bhagavatam. I don't want to read Bhagavad Gita. So knowledge, here Brahma is explaining, why is he asking specifically, tell me philosophically all about them. I was hearing one lecture of Srila Prabhupada, where Prabhupada was explaining about janma karma chame divyam evam yo vetti tattvatah. And he gave the entire lecture on this one word, tattvatah. That how important it is, not just you know Krishna, Krishna is Supreme Personality. Tattvatah, philosophically. And then he went on giving various quotations from different scriptures, saying how important it is, tattvatah. So we need to hear, Brahmaji is also saying, so we need to read Srila Prabhupada books which are like arrows. Allow them to pierce your heart. Don't try to escape. Don't try to wear the armor of ego so that the arrows do not enter the heart. Brahma is asking questions. I was thinking, let us ask few questions to ourselves. And then come into this mood of Brahma as a devotee. Prabhupada is writing, by the grace of the Lord, a devotee like Brahma, or one in his chain of disciplic succession, can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how he is engaged in his pastimes. So we should also ask some questions. Here Brahma is asking some question. What are the questions that we should ask? The first question we can ask ourselves: do I act as master, or I take shelter of Krishna every moment? Many a times in our daily activities, we try to act as master, controller. But a devotee should take shelter of Krishna, not just once. I became brahmachari 25 years ago. Finished. My surrender is complete. No. Every day, every moment, we have to surrender. That is surrender. Surrender is not an act, it's a process. So go on surrendering to Krishna. In every aspect of your life, see whether I'm taking shelter of Krishna or I'm trying to act as master. That I know very well, I can do this. In every aspect, every act, every moment, take shelter of Krishna. That is a devotee. So ask this question to yourself. The second question we can ask ourselves: are my all acts pleasing to Krishna? Am I doing everything to please Krishna? Atmendriya priti vancha tare bali kam Krishnendriya priti icha dhore premanam. Atmendriya, am I trying to satisfy myself? That's lust. Process of bhakti is to travel from lust to love. Enough of lust. Enough of enjoyment. Now love. So ask this question: am I doing everything for pleasing Krishna? Or is it just to please myself? Even in bhakti, we try to do things which I like. I come to temple because I like. Tomorrow if I don't like, I'll stop coming to temple. Many times I meet people. They said, Prabhu, from the time I have started coming to temple, my business is doing very well. And I get scared. Tomorrow if the business goes down, he will stop coming to temple, right? In India there are many temples. And these temples, some of the temples are, they call them as Jagrat Devasthana. Devasthana means temple, Jagrat means awakened. Or alert. Other temples are sleeping. So why they are called Jagrat? Because if you go there, your desire will be fulfilled. So Krishna is awake there. And rest all temples, if desire is not fulfilled, Krishna is sleeping. So we need to ask this. You know, I'm here, not, we take darshan of the Lord, not because I like it. It's for Krishna's pleasure. So in all our activities, we should request Krishna, Krishna, please be pleased. That's all. I'm taking darshan, Krishna, please be pleased. I'm chanting, Krishna, please be pleased. I'm hearing, Krishna, please be pleased. I'm speaking, Krishna, please be pleased. That's all. That's bhakti. So this is the second question we should ask. Third question. I know I have to surrender. Am I waiting for some future time, some good time, fortunate time to surrender? Or I have done a small beginning today itself? I will start chanting on Janmashtami. Many times people say like that. I will do this on from this day. I will start this from this day. We do not even know whether we'll live for that day. This life is like that. Very nicely explained. Nishvase nahi vishvasa kadaruddho bhavishyati. We do not have, you know, nishvase, when this process will stop, breathing will stop. So that is why right now take the shelter of the holy name. Satyam, satyam, punah satyam, harer nameva kevalam. That's the only truth. Holy name of the Lord. So do not wait. Are you waiting? Then do not wait. Stop waiting. You can take shelter today. Do start. Start with something. Make a beginning. The next question. I'm sorry, Brahmaji asked so many questions. I also wrote down many questions, you know. So instead of giving answers, I'm also saying questions. So the fourth question we should ask. that every day, when I'm sitting for chanting, do I endeavor to chant offenselessly, or I'm just going on chanting? Right? Many times we just go on chanting. 16 rounds, no problem, Prabhu. Finished. So am I trying, am I endeavoring to chant offenselessly, or I'm just going on chanting? You know, like autopilot mode. Our chanting is most of the time like that, right? Because one devotee told me, Prabhu, when I chant, I don't even realize when 7 rounds are over. I said, that's not a very good situation. You don't even realize, you know, it's over. In the counter, the 7 have come down. I don't even realize. This is like autopilot mode. Okay, everything is fine. Mangal Aarti over, Tulsi Aarti over. Now, you know, sit down and start chanting. And then put your chanting or put your consciousness on autopilot mode. Start. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. It's just going on chanting, right? You know autopilot mode? In the plane, when the pilots, you know, they put it on autopilot, it's going on. They don't have to do anything. And they just come out. They just, you know, because it's a long flight, they can't go on sitting for hours. So autopilot mode. Don't put your chanting on autopilot mode. That yes, and then feel that everything is going on nicely. Endeavor sincerely to chant offenselessly. Every day, not just one day. Right? Many devotees, Actually, the holy name is very sweet. As soon as you start taking, you start sleeping. Because it's so, you know, it's so sweet. But we should make endeavor to chant offenselessly. We should also ask the next question, very important. Do I desire to become an instrument of Krishna or no? Krishna tells Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, you can take everything, you can get everything in the life, you can enjoy everything in the life, but only if you are in the mood of an instrument. Tasmat vamutteshta yasholabhasva jitva shatrun bhungshva rajyam samriddham maye vete nihita purvameva nimit matram bhavasa vyasachin. Krishna says nimit matram, become an instrument. That's what you can do. And that's the glory of a devotee. Glory of a devotee is not that he has done something, some big work, some big constructed temples and this all. Glory of a devotee is he remained an instrument in the hands of Krishna. That is what is required for us. Never forget that. The glorification always is for Krishna when we understand ourselves as an instrument. Like a doctor performs an operation, he uses scissors and other instruments. After the operation, we don't glorify the scissor. Wow, what a scissor it was. Saved the life. We glorify the doctor. So when we are in that mood, we will not be expecting glorification for ourselves. The Caesar doesn't have any power, right? It is in the hands of the... That is how we are supposed to do. A very nice example is of the pencil. I have to look at the watch also. We have a disappearance of Abhiram Thakur also, right? Okay, I'll try. So very nice example of pencil. When the manufacturer of pencil gave 5 things to the pencil, we all know this, right? The first thing he said, your value is when you are in someone's hand. That is the first instruction in bhakti. Unless you give yourself in the hands of devotees, in the hands of spiritual master, you have no value. Pencil also, unless it is in the hand, it cannot write. So that's very important. And 4 other things are not related to this, so we'll talk some other time. So we need to be an instrument in the hands of Krishna. That's the glory of a devotee. So please ask this question every day, that do I desire to become an instrument or I desire to become the master? The next question, do I feel mercy of Lord and devotees every time? Or do I feel a victim? Right? If you do not experience the mercy of Krishna and his devotees, then you feel yourself as victim. Things are not happening properly. Lot of politics going on. Systems are not correct. This is not proper. I am a victim. I try to do something good. People are stopping me. Why will anyone stop you? Because you are not experiencing that mercy of devotee. So ask this question, am I experiencing the mercy of Krishna in my life, realizing it, or I'm feeling as a victim? And of course, we can also ask this question that, am I relishing Srimad Bhagavatam daily? Am I reading Srimad Bhagavatam daily? That's very important. Prabhupada started this morning Bhagavatam and evening Bhagavad Gita so that we can relish. Bhagavad Gita is for understanding the principles, Siddhanta, and Bhagavatam is for relishing. So we should relish. And if you relish, then you become a nice devotee like Abhiram Thakur. So I would like to speak about him. 10 minutes. I was told that the class can go up to 8:45. Is that? And that's the reason I'm speaking. Because I know mind is so contaminated. And I'm also feeling that it is 8:30. Should I stop now? Enough. So I'll just take 5 minutes, 5-10 minutes, not much. Because this class started very late. We started at 7:45 instead of 7:30. So please forgive me. I'm taking just 5-10 minutes extra on the orders of the authority. Right? I have been ordered by the authority that you can take 10 minutes extra, 15 minutes. Abhiram Thakur is Sri Dama. There are 12 gopas called Dwadash Gopal, Dwadash Gopas in Krishna Leela, who came in Chaitanya Leela also. So Sri Dama became Abhiram, Sudama became Sundarananda Thakur, the second Gopa, Sudama. So one is Sri Dama, then Sudama, then Vasudama. Vasudama became Dhananjay Pandit. That's the third one. There are 12 gopas. So Sudama. Then Subal became Gauridas Pandit. Very famous personality. I'm not going in explaining who all they were. So Subal became Gauridas Pandit. Mahabal became Kamalakar. Subahu became Uddharan Datta Thakur. Stoka Krishna became Purushottam Das Thakur. Mahabahu became Mahesh Pandit. Dama, he became Nagar Purushottam. And then last two remaining is Lavanga, and he became Kala Krishna Das. And then there was Kusumasva, 12th one, and he became Kolavecha Sridhar. So that's how these all 12, Dwadash Gopal, they came in Chaitanya Leela. So Abhiram Thakur, he, of course, we know Sridama. And there are a lot of things about him. Most of the things you have heard, very famous things, like he was so powerful, if he will pay obeisances to any ordinary stone, if the stone is not Shaligram, it will break into pieces. And if he pays obeisances to any person, and if he's not the Supreme Personality, or if he's not the Vishnu Tattva, the boy will die. So people were afraid that he shouldn't. Even Nityananda Prabhu, there is description in Bhakti Ratnakar that Nityananda Prabhu had one's first son. Abhiram Thakur came, and he was so happy. He gave some prasadam to Abhiram Thakur, and Abhiram Thakur said, I want to see your child. Where is he? It's your child, Nityananda Prabhu. I want to see. So he brought the child. Abhiram Thakur paid obeisances. The child died. Second child, Abhiram Thakur came, paid obeisances. The child died. Son. Third, fourth, like that. So finally, when the Veerabhadra Prabhu was born, so Nityananda Prabhu did not invite Abhiram Thakur. He was celebrating it. Son was born. He was having a celebration, big feast, everything. And Abhiram Thakur was living across the Ganga. He did not invite. In fact, he told all the boatmen, if Abhiram tries to come, don't bring him. Let him not cross the river so that he doesn't come. And then Nityananda Prabhu was celebrating. Advaita Acharya came and asked Nityananda Prabhu, what happened? Where is Abhiram Thakur? I'm not seeing. He said, I want my child to live. He's been coming and paying obeisances and all my children are dying, so I don't want him to come. And then another devotee went to Abhiram Thakur. He said, hey, what are you doing here? Nityananda Prabhu is celebrating. He's got a son. What are you doing here? He said, oh, he's not invited me. No, but you know, it's such an occasion, you should go without invitation also. It's such a nice occasion. And he said, no, it's not good. No, Nityananda Prabhu must have, he must be busy, he must have forgotten, but you should go. He said, okay, I'll go. So he came to the banks of Ganges and he wanted to cross. So he told the boatman, please take me across. He said, who are you? I have been told, I feel you are Abhiram Thakur. I have been told by Nityananda Prabhu not to allow you. He went to other boatmen. They said, no way, we are not taking you. So Abhiram Thakur wanted to cross, but no one was ready because Nityananda Prabhu had ordered, don't allow him to come. So Abhiram Thakur took off his Uttariya and then he put it in the water. It started floating. He held it and then crossed the Ganga. That was Abhiram Thakur. And he came to the celebration. So Nityananda Prabhu made him sit and he said, okay, take some prasadam. He said, where is your son? The wives of Nityananda Prabhu came and, you know, paid obeisances to him and he said, please spare us. Please do not pay obeisance to my son now. We are fed up of being called, you know, you don't have children. We give birth and then you come and you kill them. So please spare us this time. And Abhiram Thakur said, no, I would like to pay. Why are you not understanding? You know, I'm trying to prove something. So finally, Nityananda Prabhu had to bring. So he brought and he paid obeisances. The child laughed. He again paid obeisances. 4 times he paid obeisances just to check. And the child laughed. Nothing happened to the child. This was Veerabhadra Prabhu. So that's Vishnu Tattva. Nothing happened to him. There's another story of Raghunandan. You know Raghunandan's story, Mukunda's son. So Abhiram Thakur heard about glories of Raghunandan and he came. I want to pay obeisances to Raghunandan, his mother. You know, he said, oh my God. So they took Raghunandan somewhere else. He said, no. And when he came, Abhiram Thakur, he said, I want to see your son. He said, sorry, your son is not here. You can come some other time. So he went back. Couldn't pay obeisances. But when Raghunandan heard this, he went to him. Because Raghunandan is a great devotee. So like this, Abhiram Thakur was that kind of personality. We also know that he had a whip. Being in the mood of Gopa, he used to carry a bull whip, Jai Mangal. And whomever he even touches with that, he used to get Krishna Prem. Srinivas Acharya one time came to him and he was whipping him 3 times. And then his wife had to stop. Said, Buzz, he will not be able to take more than this Krishna Prem. It is enough for him. That was Abhiram Thakur. But we can learn a lot from him. I mean, we can go on. There are so many. I mean, I had written many pastimes he had with Nityananda Prabhu and others. But I'll just say a few qualities which we can learn from him. So Abhiram Thakur, first quality was that atheist would run away from him. He was so powerful preacher. So we should learn, become powerful preachers of Krishna consciousness. And why was he powerful? Second quality, highly learned in scriptures. So we should learn, we should attend Bhagavatam daily, we should learn Prabhupada's books, should be inside us. Not just on the paper. Third quality, he was excellent in music, dancing and singing. Abhiram Thakur. So this is our moment. We should learn. He used his home not for sleeping. He never slept in his home. He used his home for preaching. For inviting Vaishnavas. A lot of devotees used to come from outside and he used to host them. His house was only for that. Many devotees, whoever used to come, he used to host them. He used to use it for preaching, that's all. So those who are staying in houses, they should learn from Abhiram Thakur. That house is not for your own enjoyment. That belongs to Krishna. Utilize it for his service. And he used to always serve Vaishnavas. That was his very important quality. So anyway, Abhiram Thakur like this, and you know, one day he decided to play flute. He didn't get any flute. He went to the forest and he got a log of wood, which was as heavy, like even 15 people cannot lift it. And he just made a flute out of it and started playing. So like this, lot of things about Abhiram Thakur are there. So let us pray today to Abhiram Thakur that let his whip come on our head also. Jai Mangal. And let him not come and pay obeisances to us till we complete our devotional service. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you very much, and I don't think so we'll be able to take any questions. Any of you have any questions, can ask me later. Thank you. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bol.